Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Now, I just want to get right into it. First of all, my name is Shino. I am a pastor that used to sit on that side of the room, which is the most anointed side in all the church. If you notice, that's the power side over there. I just want to let y'all know that's the power side. And, you know, it's amazing that several years ago, probably about around four or five years ago, I came here. And when I moved here, we were meeting at the time in the Vineyard Church. And I just remember coming through the door, you know, with a limp. I was limping. Gone through a difficult situation that brought my children and I up here. And I just remember coming into this church and remembering the love and the hospitality that the people began to bring my family and I. And so what I want to encourage you this morning, there's nothing greater than the local church. See, the church is a hospital for those that are broken, those that are going through difficult life circumstances and situations. And when you come into the local church and you're with people, genuine, authentic people who love God, because out of that love comes the power of God, Jesus, to help minister to you and get you back where you need to be. And that's what this church did for me. I remember coming in and meeting Pastor Dottie for the first time and Jimmy, and how they just, they didn't even ask questions. They just loved on me. Jimmy knew my love language early on. He just began to give me these brownies. I got a sweet tooth. And so he just began, I'm like, man, I love this man. I don't know nothing about him, but he's giving me brownies. And then I remember meeting Ed and Raquel and just their faith on them, just to, you know, reminiscing and talking about the Every Nation world and how God used them early on in our church around the world. And it was just that like-mindedness. Of course, Ryan and Tiffany Neal, who I led Ryan to the Lord several years ago as a freshman on the college campus, and them being here as well. And just understanding that, man, when you sow a seed, you never know when you're going to need to reap from that seed. And they're opening up their home and just saying, man, come and stay here until you can find a place to live. And then, of course, Pastor Adam and Susan just bringing me in. And I'm laying there next to Bentley and Marshall and these dogs. And I'm like, what is going on here? But you know what? They loved on me as well. And out of that, you know, something began to happen. God began to give me friends. Because sometimes as a pastor, it can be lonely. It can be lonely sometimes. And God began to give me friends in this church, people that I could be comfortable with, the Justins and other men of God that he placed in my life along the way, just where I could be myself. I don't have to worry about putting on some front, but I could just be me. And out of that began the rebuilding process, the healing, the strength, the power, the anointing to continue to minister here in New Jersey. And I watched my kids slowly but surely come back around, going to school at Copeland Middle and then going to school at Copeland Elementary and then going to school at Morris Knowles and now Booton, and seeing them flourish and them getting their lives back in order. But it all came out of this local church. And so when I say family, I mean that from the bottom of my heart, family, friends. And then all of a sudden, you know, getting to know people letting their hair down. I didn't have hair, so I just pretended like I had hair, and I just began to meet people, meeting Ed and Amy and just all these people. I mean, going back there and praying on Sunday mornings with Ellen, meeting Ernie, talking to people, Bob, and I'm just going around the room with the people. I remember Daniel and just all this just pouring into me. And I remember Pastor Adam having to have that tough conversation with Pastor Adam before I left. I remember that conversation saying, man, I feel like the Lord is saying for me to go this way. And what I love about our pastor here in this church, the leader of this house, is he's generous. And he understands that we're one church in many locations. And so he just sent me over there. But I'm going to tell you something. What I got out of here gave me the strength and the power and the anointing to walk with authority over there. Everything that I got out of this house is now why I'm walking the way I'm walking in the city of New York. And I'm carrying a big stick. No fear, because of what you guys poured into me here, give me the strength and courage to become the man of God I needed to become to get over there. So I just want to say thank you this morning before I get into this word, which I want to, and I really want to go around the room and just tell everybody how much I'm happy. If I left you out, it's not on purpose. It's just I'm excited. I love Jesus, and I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to preach. And so we're in this series called Casket Empty. And with this series, we're trying to figure out this here. It's going through the entire Bible. And we're trying to understand the who am I, where am I from, and where am I going? And the overview is the Casket Empty series is that God is calling us to have victory. We want to have victory in our lives and that God has a plan. And I know the acronym, Pastor Adam has alluded to that, but I just want to reiterate it for those that may be joining us this morning. Creation, who God is. And we understand that Abraham, father of faith, Sinai, the mountain where Moses went and got the commandments. Then we go to Kings and we'll go into exile. We'll talk about the exile and the temple, the expectation, waiting for the Messiah, which is the M. And then we know that Jesus had to go away. And understanding that Pentecost was coming and that he was going to send the Holy Spirit the day the church was born. And then we understand the teachings of Paul and the epistles. And not that it's in there, but in the Revelations, we know that there's more to come. There's more to come. And this is your path to victory, your path to victory. And this morning, I just want to talk a little bit, just a brief little bit about the fall. So we started in creation. We got to understand that God is a creator. He is the maker of heaven and earth. And this God is all powerful. Ex nihilo. He spoke the world into existence. The Bible says that in Psalms 33:6 that God breathed. There was no big bang. It was the power of God, the ex nihilo. And out of this creation was formed. True authority, true power. And then you begin to realize that, man, not only did he create the world and everything in it, God is a God of order. He didn't just kind of fling it out there, but there was a structure, a way that he wanted to do things. And through this, we were introduced to the triune head of God. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit was right there in the beginning. But see, the love of God was birthed. Something came out of creation, that love. And so God didn't want us to be alone, disconnected from him. And so when you think about the world and how it was birthed, all of it stimulated because God is a God of community. He's a God of community, and he wanted us to be a part of that community. So when he created us, male and female, and I know Pastor Adam drew that home because society is trying to cheapen our way of life today. Just like they said, you know, there's all these gender identities and all this stuff going on out there to try to confuse us, to try to get us off our game, get us away from where we came from and who we are and what God has created us to be. No, he said, I made them both male and I made them female. There's a separation. There's a distinct separation. But he didn't stop there because as he created them, it wasn't just to kind of hang out and do nothing. No, he wanted to bless his creation. And he wanted his creation to become a blessing. So he said, man, not just take over this garden, take over this land and till it and steward it, but be fruitful and multiply. And what I love about our God is he said everything that he created was good, was good. And so you have to think about that perfect paradise, this place called Eden, where it was so good that you could walk around naked. I don't know about, they're just walking around. You ain't got to worry about nothing. You just strolling through the park, you know, hey, you ain't got to worry about nothing. And that's what I love. It was just such innocence, such purity, such holiness, such love. Man, could you imagine you walking with God and God walking with you, and all you have to do is just take care of these animals, take care of the land, and we're just going to continue this journey because he's a God of love. But you know what? We have a tendency as humans to mess some stuff up. And so that's what I'm going to talk about this morning, the fall. And I'm thinking, Pastor Adam, why would you give me that one? Out of all the ones, you know, I'm trying to be up. You know, it's Memorial Day weekend. We about to go eat ribs. You know, I'm excited. Maybe some hot dogs, hamburger. Man, you gonna give me the fall. Okay, I get it. I get it. The fall. You know, I remember playing a sport, football. And I played for this one team. And I remember there was a coach. And the coach created an environment. And in this environment, we would call these things that he would say for us to do or not to do called rules. Now, as 18-year-old boys, we think we're men, but really we're just boys. We think we know better than coach. Now, coach has been around a while, seen some things, kind of wise, been there, done that. And so coach puts this structure around for us. See, when we enter a sport in college, they call us first student, second athlete. You track it with me. So on this team, he says you cannot drink or get drunk. I should say get drunk because bad things are going to happen. It's a thing called DUI. We had a curfew. He said we need you to be in a certain place at a certain time because nothing good happens after midnight. I ain't want to hear that. I'm thinking, man, that's when the party starts. You know, he's talking about midnight. Track with me. Rules. All of a sudden, he'd say, you know what? I need you also no smoking. Not cigarettes, but no smoking of the herb or the cannabis or whatever it is you want to call it. Weed, pot, I don't know. Whatever you want to call it, no smoking of this because we'll have random drug tests. And random meant random. Rules and regulations. But he also said, man, but if you do these things and you do them well, and you also have a rule, you need to be at study hall. You need to get your degree and your education. So he has this parameter, all these things. Think about a coach, getting environment where it's good if you do these things. You'll go on and be great. But how do you know? We have some people can mess some stuff up. I remember the first time I saw one of our best players get kicked off the team. Man, I'm like, we're going to lose. He's our best player. And that right there showed me that coach was not messing around. But what I love about coach was that, look, I may kick you off the team, and you may not be welcome in this building. And you may not be able to wear this jersey anymore, but what I am going to do is I'm going to allow you to keep your scholarship and get your degree. And so what I'm trying to communicate to you is this. Our God is the same way. In the beginning, he laid out order. He gave us a structure. He gave us a game plan. And in this area, we got to understand there's forces that's going to try to pull you away from God's highest and best for our lives. Let's read Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. It says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat, God said. You must not eat it or even touch it if you will die. Verse 4, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and it was fruit, and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Mm-mm-mm. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. Shame on him. At the moment, their eyes were open and suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman. The woman. She should have went to that tea. If she would have went to the women's tea, she would have known better. You gave me the fruit that, and I ate it." Then the Lord God looked, asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." If anything you hear me say this morning is God's commands are not to threat, but to protect. God's commands are not to threaten us, but they're to protect us. And see, here it was, God specifically gave an instruction. You can do anything you want. You can run around naked. You can eat from any tree, but just stay from that one. Just that one. That was his command. But you know, the enemy's crafty. It says that this snake was more shrewd. And that word shrewd had the connotation for the undertone wise. But this wisdom was not a wisdom of known that's good. This is a wisdom that was bad, because this wisdom was going to take this woman down a dark path. My first point I want to make to you is this. It's okay to ask God a question. It's okay, but not to question God. See, God is sovereign. God knows all. And God is always looking out for his children. And he's always making sure that we get his best. And so what he was doing was he's protecting Adam and Eve from the nonsense that was going to come. And so here they are questioning God. Do you know that that is the first question recorded in Scripture? The first question recorded in Scripture. And if you notice the question and how it was presented, the question was to cast doubt on God. Yes. To cast doubt, to get her to think God is holding back. God is trying to keep me from something. What is the reason for it? If you're a parent in this room this morning, you know when you're raising your children or you're training them up, you're always trying to communicate the why. There's always a why behind why I don't want you to do what you're doing. I explained to my son, it's important for you not to cross moral lines as a young man, because you have to understand that you're not mature enough mentally, physically, in your soul to handle that. Because when you cross into that realm and you do things you shouldn't do before marriage, it tears up the soul. You're not ready. Tell my daughters, hey, watch out for these boys. They crafty like that little snake. You better be careful. Because you're not mature enough to handle the emotional trauma that happens when things break apart and things fall apart. God's always trying to keep us back. Son, daughter, be careful about the alcoholic beverages. I'm not telling you not to drink, but there's an age limit. You have to be careful. Because you take too much, you drink too much, you no longer in control. The alcohol is in control of you. And so there's a 21 age limit. There's a reason I'm trying to keep you, because sometimes you drink and you get behind the wheel, bad things can happen. It's not to say we don't want you to do this and enjoy yourself. There's nothing wrong with social drinking, but I'm talking when you are now no longer in control. Consequences. You got to understand that the enemy, this thing that came in the form of a snake, behind it was this thing that we now call, that we and I know, the enemy. It was the devil himself, because now he's revealed himself by contradicting the word of God. Now you see who he really is. He's trying to bring a wedge between man in the holy God, in the way he's doing it, is to try to get doubt. And you have to understand this. The Bible says in John 8:44 that the enemy's name, that they call him at the root of his nature, is the father of lies. Yes. He's a deceiver. He's a manipulator. And sometimes, man, he will drag you down in a path that you have no business going down. The father of lies. And we have to understand that he's lying to her. He's trying to get her away from the things of God, the good things. Remember, everything he created was good. Was good. The next thing I want to talk about that is God's commands are not a threat, but they're to protect. Number two, stay clear from sin. I'm going to say that again. Stay clear from sin because it doesn't play fair. That's not fair. You ever hear that on the playground? That's not fair. You cheated. Pastor Dottie said, I like to cheat. That ain't fair. That ain't fair. You cheated. You cheated. You know what? The enemy's the same way. He doesn't play fair. You know why? Because he wants to destroy you. He wants to get you off the face of the earth as quick as possible because of the destiny, the purpose that is inside of you to go and do something great for God. He knew that these men and women were called to greatness, that God was going to use them to do great things, to oversee the earth and do great things and multiply and make creation. No, 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 we can't have that. So I got to step in and I got to deceive her. And her fall was this. Is that she began to have dialogue with Satan. People, let me explain something to you this morning. Don't play with sin. See, what we like to do is we like to get as close to it as possible without sin. And Pastor Dottie, I was here, but I didn't sin. You know what? Pastor Adam, I was here, but I didn't sin. But let me tell you something about sin. Sin will reach over the line and grab you and pull you into it. And then once it gets a hold of you, it's not going to let go. It's not going to let go. And so you have to be careful not to be around these things. See, when I played sports and the coach was giving us these parameters, these things to protect us, it didn't make sense. God, you're just trying to keep us some things. You won't let me be a man. I'm not trying to go to jail for nobody. Because when you kill a man or a woman because you were intoxicated, coach can't be there to help you. Sin doesn't play fair. I wasn't trying to be a father before my time. And so when coach was saying, look, man, be careful of these people that come around you and try to keep you from being what you came here to do, you got to be careful. You cannot play with sin. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:22, run from anything that stimulates your youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteousness, living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. The enemy deceived her. See, you have to be careful, and you got to understand that you have to know the word because the enemy knows the word. I can't fight the enemy any old kind of way. See, I'm a strong man. But I'm going to tell you something, the enemy is stronger. And so I have to fight him with something stronger than myself. If I don't know the word, see, the thing the enemy respects is power. He doesn't respect my bank account. He don't care who I walk with. He don't care what I look like. All he cares about is power. And that real power was coming from God. And so here it is right here. He tricked her. See, if you don't know the word, you can't quote, you can't fight back without knowing the word of God. It said this, the original command was this, from any tree of the garden, you may eat freely. From any tree of the garden, you may eat freely. But the enemy said, did he really say that? You can't just be a hearer of the word. Are you listening when the preached word of God is going forth? Are you listening when you're in your connect group? Are you listening when the podcast is going? Are you listening to the word? Because it's not just hearing, but you have to do what it says. Husbands, you know what I'm talking about. ESPN is on and your wife is talking. You ain't listening. She done asked you 5-10 times, could you take the trash out? How about vacuuming? The kids are this. And you just sitting up there, yeah. And then what's the main question she's getting ready to ask you? What'd I say? I think you said, no. You didn't say that. The enemy got her trapped. He deceived her and got her to believe something she didn't believe. She should have believed. From the fruit of the trees of the garden, me way eat. That's what she said. The fruit of the tree, the garden. That ain't what he said. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you may eat from it, you will surely die. That's what he said. But her response back to the serpent. But from the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. God said one thing, but she quoted another. You have to listen to the commands of God. And the way you listen and learn is by God repetition. I got to study these scriptures. I got to know the word of God. I can't just come at God, the enemy, any old kind of way. He knows the word too, and he'll distort it. And he'll trick you. And that's what he did from her. Saints, please, whatever you do, don't entertain the enemy. Don't entertain him. Don't have dialogue with him. Run. Run. Get away. Stay away from it. You know, I'm over here ministering in this city. And I'm going to tell you right now, anything goes. You name it, you dream it, they're doing it. And as a man of God, I have to be on my A game. Because it's coming at me from all directions. And I heard Pastor Adam allude to it, but over there a lot of stuff has been formed to dismantle people like you and I that believe in the true one and only living God. And if I don't know how to combat that in love, then I'm going to be in trouble. Because then I'll fall into the trap and say, you know what? Yeah, you're right, but let's go do it together then. Then I become like. I become like. You have to understand the word of God. God's commands are not to threat, but to protect. The enemy's scheme was this. Not only did he deceive her, but he played on her desires. And so the enemy knows that, man, if I could get them to look at something, he said that the fruit looked good to her. Not only did it look good, but she was hungry. Woo! Anybody hungry right now? He played off of her desires, off of her appetite. Now he's got her here, but now he's getting ready to deal with the flesh. And if you can't master the flesh, you're going to be in trouble. Because he's going to paint a picture. The artist of the enemy. The enemy is a great artist. He's a master painter. He's a Picasso. He's a Michelangelo. He's a Banksy. Anybody know Banksy around here? Y'all know Banksy? I'm following him too. He crazy. How do you just on the wall, man? He's cool. Banksy. He can paint a picture and make it look so good. Oh, man, if you keep going this way, this is what it's going to look like. If you keep doing this, this is what it's going to look like. Remember that he said, surely, if you eat of the apple, you know what's going to happen. You're going to be just like him. So now he's playing off her emotions, her feelings, her desires. I'm hungry. And now, wait a minute. Is God holding back on me? See, the Christian cuss word is patience. I want the apple now. I want the knowledge now. I want the breakthrough now. I'm not willing to wait for it. I'm going to do it my way. But you know what? You get it your way, it can sometimes be the highway, a bad way. See, I've learned this, man. When you sow to the wind, you're going to reap a whirlwind. And you got to understand what you're sowing into. You got to be careful. And so now, man, she's already locked in. He's got her. And you know what, man? The temptation is so strong and the deception is so strong. God's holding back. God's trying to keep me from the best. Women don't run into a relationship that's ungodly, unrighteous, paying weight. Men don't run into a relationship that's ungodly or unrighteous, weight. Don't think God's holding back. Businessmen, man, you want that deal because everything, all hell's breaking loose underneath you and they try to trick you to cut the corners. To take the shortcut, no, do it God's way. Yes. Because once God gives it to you, nobody can take it from you. Yes. Stay the course. And so I'm sitting there, and now she's eating this apple. As soon as she eats it, she goes to her hubby. Hey, honey, you hungry too? And this fool right here. Oh, my God. I was like, man, what you doing? You was there too? You heard the same command that she heard. And now you going to eat. And now y'all both messed up. And you going to blame her just like a man. The woman did it. My third point is to check your desires. You got to check them. You got to check your desires. Lord, not my will, but your will. Not my ways, but your ways. Not my desires, but your desires. See, Lord, you created me in your image, and I'm called to follow you. And my life is no longer my life. Jesus, you are Lord. Not just Lord of the universe, but you're Lord of my life. And I'm surrendered to you. And so I got to put my desires in check. Is this really what you'd have me to be? Is this really what you'd have me to do, Lord? Because if not, not my will, your will be done. Galatians 5:17, it says this, the spirit and your desires are enemies of each other. Your spirits and your desire are enemies of each other. They are always fighting each other and keeping you from doing what you feel you should. There's a wrestle going on between the spirit and the flesh. And that's why I tell young men, young women, older men, older women, you need to walk around with the IV of the Word of God. You got to let this thing be drowning inside of you so that you don't become spiritually dehydrated. Because what happens is when the enemy begins to play on those emotions and he begins to play on those desires, if you are not spiritually strong, he'll pull you away. And now the fall has begun. But did you notice something about our God? It says this, that in the cool of the day, God began to look for Adam. The cool of the day is a sign of God's presence. The one thing I've learned early on is you can't run from God. It's pretty fast. His presence everywhere. Omnipresent. Everywhere. He knew where Adam was. But what he was trying to get to was, Adam, what did you do? Because our God is a just God. He's a loving God, but he's also just. And he demanded a response. He demanded that Adam take responsibility for what he did. See, there was a lot of blame shifting going on. The woman you gave me. No, I gave you the command too. So after he dealt with Adam, he went after the woman. What happened? Well, you know, it was the snake, the serpent. He turns to the serpent. And he lit into him. See, theologians believe that the serpent, before the curse, had legs. And so when he cursed him, he said, you're going to eat the dust of the ground. Them legs is gone. You about to slither on your belly. And not only that, but now I'm putting something between you and society, you and man. I'm so mad right now that I got a plan. And that's my last point in closing. God has a plan. See, as soon as there was a fall, God had a plan. See, God knows what's going to happen, the beginning, the end, and the in-between, which can give you and I hope that when all hell is breaking loose in our life, God has a plan. You can be at the bottom of your life. You can be down and out. It can be the darkest part. And this is the darkest moment in history right now. Because for the first time, there is separation between God and his creation. His heart is broken. This is not what I wanted. This is not what I designed it to be. Now, all of a sudden, they're gone. They're separated from God. And then, not only this, but now there's not just a physical death coming, but there's a spiritual death coming as well. This is serious. The floodgates have been opened. And the devil has come in. What I need to explain to you this morning, is that if you give the devil a toehold, a foothold, you put that foot in the door, just kind of keep it open a little bit, just let him kind of keep it there, he don't play fair. He's going to kick the whole thing in, and everything is coming in with him. He opened the door. Soon as they bit, here it came. From that moment on, society is on a downfall. It's spiraling out of control. Sin, sickness, disease, anything you can think of that's going into the world comes all the way back to that. But God had a plan. He said, you know what? You woman, now when you get babies, it's going to be painful. You're going to long for your husband. You're going to want to rule and run, but it's not going to work that way. No more of this. We can't have that. Adam, that dust that I brought you from, you're going to return back to it. And this ground that you had dominion over now, it's going to run your life. It's going to run you. But I got a plan. See, the Bible says in Romans 8:28, it says that when we love God and we're called according to his purposes, all things work together for good. Say all. This was going to turn out good. Because from this woman's seed is going to come somebody that we know now as the Messiah, the Christ, the risen King. From this woman's seed. And from that moment on, hope sprang up. Hope sprang up in Adam. Okay, all right, I messed up, but I thank God you got a plan. You got a plan. It ain't over. So, okay, what's the next step? Well, sir, I'm telling you right now, you got to go. You can't stay in here with me anymore. I'm getting ready to kick you out, but I still love you. And I still am going to be there with you. Matter of fact, before you get out of here, let me put some clothes on you. And they say, theologians say, man, when they put those, sold those fig leaves, when he put those skins on them, that was a sign of redemption. Others say, you know what, it's not just redemption, but it's also God meeting a need that they couldn't meet themselves. And I'm here to tell you there's needs and things that we can't meet, that we can't do on our own strength, that only the creator of heaven and earth can come in and meet those needs. He said, man, y'all got to go. Puts him on the outside and he brings this cherubim in. And let me tell you, just like Pastor Adam always says, this cherubim ain't no fat baby in a diaper. No, this cherubim protects God. He's around God. He's around protecting the throne, these cherubims. And I'm understanding this, man, this flaming sword was coming in and out, representing, man, you cannot come in here no more until the time is come. He had a plan. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, for my thoughts aren't your thoughts. Understand this, saints. When all hell is breaking loose in your life and you can't think straight, you don't know up from down, you don't know what's going on in your life, God does. He's got a plan. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. You may have got broke. You may have got beat up. You may have got let go. It doesn't matter. They could have walked away from you. He could have left you. She could have left you. Your kids could be gone. But God has a plan. He has a plan. He has a plan. And I'm telling you, somebody needs to hear this right now. You need to submit to the plan. Submit to God's plan, submit to God's timing, submit to God's will, because you're wearing yourself out trying to figure it out and you can't do it on your own strength. Yes. You need the power of the Most High God to get you through it. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, my ways are higher than your ways. And that's what God is communicating. I have a plan over this thing. It's not just going to stop with you two. No, you're going to produce a couple more boys. And out of that boy, somebody's going to do something crazy. And then you know what? We're going to have to shut it down and start it all over again. And his name's going to be Seth. But I got a plan through this woman's line. There's going to be spiritual things. And there's going to be life to populate this earth through this seed. Casket empty. through this process, we're going to learn some things about our God. And I'm closing with this. Number five, God is merciful. He's merciful. He could have ended it right there. He could have shut it all down. How many of you are thankful that, man, when we fall, when we miss the mark, which sin is, aren't you thankful that he don't just break you right there? Aren't you thankful that, man, he's got mercy? Mercy. I need mercy today. Mercy, God. I'm sorry. I messed up. I should not have done that. I should not have said that. I should not have looked at that. I should not have went there. I'm sorry. God, forgive me for the way I've acted. Mercy. And it says this, Psalms 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The enemy thought they had him in the garden, but through all generations, good was coming. Psalms 145:8 says this, and I want you to stand to your feet. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and great in faithful love. I want to tell you something this morning. He's faithful. He's faithful. His promises never fail. He always comes through. He always comes through. He never, ever, ever will leave you nor forsake you. He's in the pit. He's in the mountaintop with you. He's in the plateau areas of your life, but he never leaves you. He's right there. And it looked dark in history, but God had a plan. And I'm hearing the Lord say this to you this morning, that he has a plan for your life, that what the enemy's meant for evil, he's getting ready to turn it for good. But the key that I love about Adam and Eve is they kept moving forward. They continue the dominion mandate. They continue to produce. They continue to multiply. It said that Adam lived for 930 days. Years, excuse me. 930. Saints, I'm telling you this morning, there's a God in heaven who's going to step out of eternity and begin to lift you out of your hurts and pains. You may have missed the mark, but I'm here to say there's blood of Jesus to cleanse this morning.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.